U.S. versus Chapman. Mr. Beals?
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, my name is Bart Beals. I represent the appellate in this case, Vernon Chapman. Just to quickly mention some of the pertinent facts for a couple of the issues in this case. My client was involved in five drug transactions, four heroin transactions between July and October of 2010, and one crack transaction in early November of 2010. The transactions, there were recordings of the transactions by the DEA, FBI, or I do believe FBI, I'm sorry, and those recordings were a part of the evidence. Now, after in November, the middle part of November of 2010, Mr. Chapman was arrested by federal authorities. He was subsequently indicted, originally just for the crack transaction. There was a second indictment for that included the heroin transactions. In the case, early on in the case, Mr. Chapman asserted that the recordings from the early November crack transactions did not include certain exculpatory statements that were made by him during that transaction, that effectively that was not an accurate recording or an accurate depiction of what occurred.
Sorry, did the defendant testify to that effect?
No, this is an assertion that he made in court. He didn't testify to that fact at trial, and the reason he didn't testify to that fact in trial, I mentioned in my reply brief, that was a tactical decision at trial.
I understand, but is there any evidence presented to the jury that anything was missing from those recordings?
No, and there was no evidence presented to the jury because of the fact that that goes directly to the issue regarding there were three experts that were requested. Two of the experts were requested from the district court. Two of the experts were audio visual experts, and they gave an opinion as to whether or not the actual CD, the CDs that were provided by the government, whether or not it looked as if it appeared from their expert opinion that it had been tampered with, or if it was anything, whether it had been tampered with. That was their expert opinion. Now, just to back up a little bit and just to put this a little more context.
But at some point, can't the district court say no to further requests when all the previous ones have rejected the conclusion that the defendant was hoping for?
Well, that would be the appropriate response by the district court, except for the fact, in this case, the third expert, although it was a third expert, it was the first and only expert request regarding a computer expert. Because the central issue is that the government's position was the recording was originally made on a recording device called a Hawk device. That was the original device that made the recording. Once those recordings were done, the actual recordings were downloaded using a special software by the FBI, and they were downloaded onto the CDs, DVD. There was no question that the original device that did the recordings, that wasn't available. According to the government, once the Hawk device, once you download it to the CD, there's nothing left. So there was nothing available to it. There was not an opportunity to actually look at the Hawking device and to review that and say, hey, well, wait a minute. You're saying these CDs are the simplest way to say to determine whether or not the CDs had been altered is to look at the actual device that did the recording and say, hey, it's the same thing. That was not possible. So based on those assertions, the computer expert was requested in order to give an opinion, one, to potentially examine the FBI computers.
Not the original machine that recorded the...
Well, yes, right. The computer expert wouldn't have been able to look at actually look at the actual recordings from the original Hawking device because those recordings were gone. No,
right.
But the computer expert the purpose of the computer expert was to give an opinion as to several matters, and most importantly, there, you know, the assertion by the government that, hey, look, that this Hawking device, you have this recording, you transfer these recordings to a CD, DVD, and it is not possible to alter the recordings in that process, and the process does not leave any hits on the hard drive, and so effectively, the CD, DVD is, it, you know, it's a very reliable duplicate, or could even be considered an original because of the process. So the computer expert, the purpose of the computer expert is to challenge that assertion. Now, since usually in the rules of evidence, when you have a recording, if there is some legitimate challenge as to the authenticity of the recording, that's when that presents the issue of whether or not it should be admitted or not by the district court. In this case, Mr. Chapman asserted from early on that was not an accurate depiction of the recordings. And there were two experts, like I said, audio-video experts, that looked at the actual CD, but they never examined the actual process of transferring the recordings from the original recordings of the Hawking device to the CD. They never examined the actual computer, the hard drive by the FBI. They were not an expert to even give an opinion as to the government's assertion regarding the reliability of the process of transferring the recordings.
So after the first expert was hired, I would assume it dawned on the defense that perhaps they would need such an expert in computers, but there was no request that second expert be that type. There were two that were the very same, right?
Well, Your Honor, in that, I'm at a loss to be able to present that information. I was a fourth lawyer on the case. There were other previous attorneys. You know, this is the expert, the computer expert that was requested. That's not a common request. Although the expert that was requested is someone who's testified in court before and in these type of cases before, but that's not a common request. So it's possible that previous counsel was looking at the conventional means. If there's a CD and you take a look at it and say, hey, we'll get an expert, does it appear if it's been altered by just looking at the CD, since you couldn't, it was impossible to do an actual comparison between the original. So why the previous counsels may not have thought about the computer expert, that I cannot speak to, but I can speak to that, like I said, that was a unique situation. And this is not a common situation regarding the allegation of, okay, this recording has been tampered with and it's not an accurate depiction, and then challenging the actual process of transferring the recordings from the Hawk device to the actual CDs, DVDs. So if there are any other questions regarding that issue, I just wanted to also mention that was when the expert was requested and the court denied that request, it was an abuse of discretion because effectively it denied Mr. Chapman an opportunity to properly defend himself. Now, what the expert would have rendered, what the opinion may have been, what the expert may have rendered, it's hard to say. At least Mr. Chapman should have had an opportunity to be able to examine and question, challenge the government's assertion. Because if the expert would have actually examined the computers, examined the process that the government described, and been able to show scientifically there were some issues with that, then that could have also substantially affected this case. So at this point, unless there are other questions, I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Beals.
Thank you.
Ms. Alexakis, maybe you should help me with that pronunciation.
May it please the court, my name is Georgia Alexakis, and I represent the United States. This court should affirm the defendant's conviction and sentence. The district court did not deny defendants' constitutional rights when he declined defendants' request for a third expert to investigate this contention that law enforcement had somehow tampered with the recordings associated with a drug transaction that took place in November of 2010. As defense counsel explained, the defendant had requested one expert, an audiovisual expert, to look at the recording and determine if there was any tampering. District court readily granted that request, and that defense expert returned a finding that there was no noticeable evidence of tampering. The defendant was unsatisfied with that finding because it didn't agree with his belief that the recording had been tampered with. And so we went back to the district court and asked a second time for another expert. This time the district court, again, readily granted that request. This time the defense expert, the second defense expert, didn't just find no noticeable tampering. The expert, Mr. Dickey, took it even one step further. And in his opinion, which was read into the district court record at one of several pretrial hearings on this issue, his report makes clear that he found absolutely no evidence of tampering. And in particular, he said that there was no evidence of interruptions in the recording. And in fact, he reached that conclusion not just by listening to the recording, but his report discussed various codes that are associated with the digital recording. And the codes would indicate if the events, if the data, if the recording itself had been interrupted in any way sequentially. And Mr. Dickey's report said, there is no interruption. The codes appear as they should be, as you would expect a recording to appear if it was turned on at a certain time, turned off at a certain time, with no gaps or interruptions in the middle. So that was the opinion of the defendant's second expert. So then the defendant went back again and asked for a third expert. Now, defense counsel has styled this request, and the defendant in the district court styled this request as one for a computer expert, but there really isn't a difference whether you call it an audiovisual expert or a computer expert as to what the request was at the end of the day. The request of the expert was to determine whether or not the recording had been tampered with. Two experts concluded that there was no evidence that the recording had been tampered with. And so a computer expert being asked to come in and examine a computer and software and the FBI process to determine whether there could have been some sort of tampering or alteration wouldn't have changed the fact that there wasn't any alteration, according to the first two defense experts, as well as a government expert that was retained late in the process in anticipation of a potential defense by the defendant at trial on this particular issue. So in light of the expert opinions that were already before the district court did not deny the defendant's constitutional rights in declining to permit him to retain a third expert. And again, this is particularly true when the defendant made no other preliminary showing that there had been any tampering or any exculpatory evidence on those recordings originally that somehow did not make their way to the copy that was tendered to defendant after he was charged. You can hear on the recording the start time for the transaction, the stop time of the transaction. The FBI agent who testified in this case made that clear, that this is how the process works. He told the jury that. There were no gaps or interruptions on the recording. Defendant before the district court kept talking about how the original recording had been erased. But again, as it was explained to the district court, and as the district court found, no evidence was erased. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was simply transferred through this standard custom and practice that the FBI has in place. The data had been transferred from a recording device to a CD or DVD with no data left on the device and no data left on the computer that acted as the conduit between the device and the CD and DVD. So really, the only thing that the defendant had to support his contention that there was any kind of tampering on the November recording were his own statements and beliefs, which, as the district court pointed out, he was free to testify to at trial. In light of this absence of a preliminary showing, the district court did not violate the defendant's constitutional rights in not permitting him leave to retain a third expert. And certainly the defendant had other ways through his own testimony or through the cross-examination of the FBI agent who did testify at trial, to present testimony to assert his belief that the recordings had been tampered with. Unless there are any other questions from the court on this issue or any of the other issues that have been raised on appeal, at this time the government would simply ask that, again, you affirm the defendant's convictions and sentence.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. How much time for Mr. Fields?
Okay, Your Honor, and if it pleases the court, Your Honor, I just want to address a couple things that counsel mentioned. First and foremost, there is a big difference between an audio-visual expert and a computer expert. The audio-visual experts were never asked, they were never in a position, they never had the expertise to challenge the government's assertion.
So how do you respond to that segment of their report that counsel made reference to?
Well, regarding Mr. Dickey's report?
Yes.
Well, his report, my response to that is his report said he looked at the DVD, and in his opinion, in looking at the DVD, he mentioned codes and
right,
sequential.
Which go to digital questions or
that's concerns. That does. It goes to digital questions regarding the actual CD and recordings. It never went to the question of, is it possible to alter a recording and without these indications of without there having been issues with the codes or without any obvious breaks in on the actual CD? That was never asked, answered. That was never provided in the report. And honestly speaking, it wouldn't have been appropriate to even to ask an audiovisual expert regarding that. That's something that a computer expert would be able to answer, to say, well, hey, this is the explanation given as to how this recording is being transferred from this Hawk device to the CD to get this product. Is it possible to even alter it? And with these particular results. And also, just to touch on the point regarding Mr. Chapman being free to offer evidence at trial, or why he didn't offer evidence at trial regarding his perspective that the recordings had either been altered or were not a complete and accurate representation. Without any type of scientific basis or any type of plausible explanation, it would have severely hurt Mr. Chapman's credibility in a case, an entrapment case, with an entrapment defense, to get in front of the jury and say, hey, these recordings have been altered. I said this, and it's not in the recording. Then it becomes, you have Mr. Chapman's word, the person who's accused of a crime, of which, because it's an entrapment defense, he's admitting that these acts he actually did, but then to say, well, yeah, but I also, these other things are missing, without any type of scientific evidence or explanation. And even from the standpoint of having a computer expert to come in and to be able to testify, well, yes, it's possible that these recordings could be altered. This process could be altered in this way, this way, or this way. Even to be able to have been able to have presented that to the jury would have been of some value. But most importantly, there would have been an opportunity to explore if there were any weaknesses or if there were any issues in the explanation by the government as to how its actual process worked. Because at the end of the day, ultimately, what the government is saying is, hey, we don't have the original recording. Just take our word. Take our word that, hey, the way we transferred the original recording to the CD, it works, and there are no issues with that process. And I understand that it was a third expert, but it was the first and only computer expert that had the ability to actually go in and, according to the process that was given by the government examine the actual FBI hard drives and even give an opinion as to the special software that there that they said that was in use at the time. And the one last thing I would also like to mention regarding presenting any preliminary information to the court from Mr. Chapman to demonstrate that these recordings have been altered. We're talking about recordings that were always in the sole possession of the FBI, the government. All that Mr. Chapman can present in a situation like that is his word. All he can say is, hey, look, these are the things that I said, and it's not there. There's no other way to present that information to the court without an expert. So if there aren't any other questions, I guess I would rest on the
All right. Thank you, Mr. Beals. And let me thank you on behalf of the court, Mr. Beals, for taking this assignment. You're volunteering to take this pro bono is a real service not only to your client but to this court, and we thank you for your vigorous representation, and of course we thank the government, who's always vigorous in their representation. The case will be taken under advisement.